Well, Tilly was really praising God there this morning during praise and worship. That's excellent. The sounds of life in the body of Christ. It's good to see everybody this morning. We have some new people, so welcome to you guys. It's good to have you. Some friends of ours, Dave and Vicky, joining us today from Columbus Grove. Good to see you guys. Appreciate you. Dave and Vicky have gone to the church that Don and I went to with Pastor Menke. We were there for 25 years. You guys probably, what, 30 years? More? Yeah, so it's good to have you guys here this morning. We appreciate it. We've got our, we've got lots of contingents. From Liberty, we have Christian and Sarah. Good to see you guys. Aaron, joining us from Sylvania. Good to see you, Aaron. And we have a whole bunch of the Magrams have now gone from Route 25. So we have Mark and Jean, and I see Mark and Jean, but I don't see Tanner and Julie and Toby, but I assume that they're there somewhere. So welcome to all you guys as well. You guys ready for the Word of God this morning?
Yeah.
All right. Well, last week we were looking at biblical hope and how biblical hope is not the world's hope. And I want to do a little bit of review in case you weren't here last week, but it's just going to be a little bit of review. So if you want to hear more about that, go to the website, which is cityonahilltc.org, and just look for last week's, and you can get all that information. Or if you really want, Donna hates it when I do this, if you really want, I can get you notes from that you can just have to look through yourself, too. Donna's shaking her head no, but we'll do it this one time. All right, so biblical hope is not the world's kind of hope. So by review, last week, this is what we were looking at. We were looking at how there is that all-powerful word, but it's that word that is so undervalued in the body of Christ, and that word is hope. And we often confuse biblical hope or worldly hope for biblical hope. When we confuse worldly hope for biblical hope, that miscalculation leads to a huge deflation of the supernatural power of Jesus Christ in our lives. Biblical hope is not the same thing as the world's kind of hope. We should cherish the hope that we have, the biblical hope that we have in Jesus Christ. We should cherish that. But you know, for most people in the world, and even for a lot of people in the body of Christ, hope is more an act of desperation than it is truly cherishing something that we have. Hope is often that. And the way we looked at it last week, the example that I gave was often for, even for us, hope becomes this. It's wringing of the hands. Oh, I hope that Jesus does something. I hope that Jesus and his word come to pass in my life. Instead of wringing of the hands, it should be, my hope is in you, Jesus, from a thankful heart. It should be hands elevated, hands raised in the hope that you have in Jesus Christ. So we also looked at some of the road signs that pointed us in the direction of biblical hope. And the first road sign that we looked at last week, the first road sign was the road sign of praise. Praise points us in the direction of biblical hope. And as an example, we saw the author of Psalm 71. And the author of Psalm 71, what he said was, I will hope continually, and he committed to praising the Lord yet more and more. For the follower of Jesus Christ, we have to make the determination to hope even when there is no hope in the natural. We still make the determination to hope. This is who we are in Jesus Christ. As followers of Jesus Christ, we praise Jesus and we continue to praise him because as we praise him, it stirs up the hope that is already inside of us. And as we stir up the hope of Jesus Christ that is inside of us, as we stir that up, we should, even if the situation is worse, the worst situation possible, we should then speak our words of hope and speak those words of praise all the more louder to cause every demon in hell to cower in his little corner because of the words of hope, the words of praise that are coming out of your mouth. So the second road sign that we saw last week, pointing us in the direction of biblical hope, was determination. And we saw that from Romans chapter 4, verse number 17. In Romans 4, verse number 17, we learned that God calls things that are not as though they are. That's an important thing for us to realize. God calls things that are not as though they are because in the spiritual realm, they're already done. As believers in Jesus Christ who are going towards a biblical hope, We need to make the determination to believe the greater reality of the spiritual realm, to believe that reality over the natural realm. Then we saw the fork in the road. So we had the signpost of praise pointing us in the direction. We had the signpost of determination pointing us in the direction. But then we came to that fork in the road on the way to biblical hope. And the fork in the road, we saw that from that next verse in Romans, Romans chapter 4, verse number 18. And there we saw in Romans chapter 4, verse number 18, we saw that it said that Abraham hoped against hope. And how that's kind of a funny, when you think about it, that's kind of a funny phrase. How can you hope against hope? But what that was saying was that Abraham made the determination to hope in spiritual hope as opposed to putting his hope in natural hope. And then the final, one of the final things we looked at last week was we looked down, you got that fork in the road. So we looked down both roads, the road called natural and the road called spiritual. And when you look down the road called natural, putting your hope in the natural, that is the well-traveled road. You can see the traffic is heavy on that road. But you look down the road called spiritual, and sometimes it looks like it's abandoned. We need to be going down that road called spiritual. See, the fork in the road is pitting that natural hope, that wishful thinking of the world. It's pitting that natural hope, the wishful thinking, against the spiritual hope. Spiritual hope is believing the supernatural promises that are in the Word of God for you and I. It is calling those things that do not exist as though they do, because we know that they exist in the spiritual realm. So that's where we were at last week. Everybody up to speed? See, you didn't need to come last week at all. I got that all in like 5 minutes. All right, so the last thing that I did say to you at the end of last week was, I actually gave you a homework assignment because it was the first week of school for a lot of people. So I gave you a homework assignment. I told you to go ahead and to look at Hebrews chapter 11, verse number 1, and to read that verse, and throughout the week to let the Holy Spirit just teach you. Let the Holy Spirit bring understanding to you about that biblical hope and that biblical hope that we can see from Hebrews chapter 11, verse number 1. So let's look at Hebrews 11, 1. Hope you did that, and hope the Holy Spirit's already showed you some things. But we're going to see some more. So Hebrews 11, 1 says this, "Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, evidence of the things not seen." So last week we used the road signs as an analogy to point us in the direction of biblical hope. But this is the destination of biblical hope. This right here is the destination. It is hope. It's the hope that the things that we are, it's the things that we're hoping for becoming substance. This is the destination. The things that you're hoping for from the Word of God in your life becoming substance, becoming reality in your life. That's the destination. Let me give you another example using the whole road analogy. You ever see when you're driving on major highways, they have those big signs off to the side, they're usually big green signs, and it tells you how far away you are from your destination. It's like, okay, I told you I was driving to Cleveland on Thursday morning. So somewhere on the turnpike, there's a big sign that said Cleveland, 90 miles. Now, this is probably the only time you're ever going to have Cleveland used in a demonstration of heading towards hope. However, we saw that, so it said Cleveland, 90 miles. For our purposes, I want you to think about the Holy Spirit as being those road signs. Because the road signs are there to show you how much farther you have to go to reach your destination. Your destination is biblical hope. The Holy Spirit is there to show you how much farther you have to go if you're believing hope is the substance, or faith is the substance of things hoped for. The things that we hope for, that's what we want to see those become substance. We want those to become reality in our lives. The Holy Spirit shows us how much farther we have to go to get to that destination. The destination is those things we hope for becoming substance. Those things we hope for becoming reality. When we're traveling somewhere, we use two tools. We use the maps, and for some of us, we use GPS. I want to illustrate those two things as the Holy Spirit and the Word of God. So what's a map do? Because the Word of God is like the map for us. The Word of God shows us how to get from where you are to your destination, which is that biblical hope. It is seeing those things that you hope for become substance, become reality in your life. So the map, the Word of God, tells you how to get from where you are to your destination. Now, sometimes when Donna and I go on vacation, Donna goes to MapQuest, and she'll pull up, you know, all the information. So it tells you, you look, it's like 3 or 4 pages long, and you look at the first page, and it tells you, there's your address from your home. And it tells you all the things you have to do. It tells you how to get from there to get to your destination point. But the thing is, like if we're driving to Florida, 1,300 miles, about 1,000 of those miles are on like Route 75. So if I'm just looking at the map, I have no idea when I'm on 75, I have no idea how far away I am from my destination. So the map is good to tell me how to get from where I'm at to my destination, but this is where the Holy Spirit comes in, because the Holy Spirit's kind of like the GPS. When you turn on your GPS, it tells you exactly where you are. It gives you the longitude and the latitude. It pinpoints exactly where you are in your destination. You know how much farther you have to go in your journey to get to your destination, which is the biblical hope. Seeing those things that you hope for becoming reality in your life. Does that make sense? So those road signs are the Holy Spirit, and it's showing us how much farther we have to go to get to our destination. But faith, because Hebrews 11:1 is faith is the substance of things hoped for. Faith is also a road sign that's for us, because faith is the substance of things hoped for. So the road sign of faith, it's not even a road sign. Faith is that sign that tells you you are entering into the city limits of your destination. See, when you're driving, if you're driving from here to Grand Rapids, there's going to be a big sign that says, Welcome to Grand Rapids. When Donna puts together that big 1,300-mile trip from here to Pompano Beach, eventually, after 22 hours, we get to that road sign, we get to that big sign that says, Welcome to Pompano Beach. You're entering the city limits. So faith, the substance of things hoped for, faith tells you you've arrived. Faith is what brings. Faith is the substance of things that you hope for. Faith is what gets you to bringing those things you hope for into the reality of your life. You guys still with me? All right. So that's kind of a further demonstration of the roadmap. But let's give a little bit more definition to Hebrews chapter 11, verse number 1. So that verse starts off by telling us that faith is the substance of things hoped for. To get to the things that we hope for, and again, the things we hope for, it's the things that we're believing from the Word of God. Those things that we're hoping for to see in our lives. Faith is the substance of things hoped for. To get to those things, to get to the substance of the things that we hope for, you have to start with hope. Starting place of all things. In everything, the starting point has to be hope. So hope is making that determination, is making the decision to look beyond the natural realm and to look and to see with spiritual eyes into the spiritual realm. It's looking to see in that which you otherwise cannot see. It's seeing the things that are in the spiritual realm. And once you've made that choice, once you've made that decision to look towards the supernatural, to look towards the spiritual, then in biblical hope, you're on your way to faith. You're headed in the direction that you need to go. In fact, once you hope, in other words, once you determine to hope, to put your hope in the unseen as opposed to the things that are seen, once you determine to hope, that hope becomes then belief. And it's that belief in the things that are unseen that bring the substance of the things that you hope for. It's all got to start, though, with hope. Everything begins with hope. In other words, you can look at it this way. The substance of faith, the things that we hope for, the substance of faith is calling those things that do not yet exist in the natural realm into reality. It's calling those things that don't yet exist in the natural realm into reality because you know that they already do exist in the spiritual realm. It's making manifest those things already completed and finished in the spiritual realm, making them manifest in your own natural realm, in your own natural reality. Faith is believing for something that is real. Now that sounds kind of obvious, but it's not, because think about this. Faith is believing for something that is real. Because a lot of people look at faith and they think that faith is believing for something that does not yet exist at any level. There's a lot of people that think, if I hope, If I continue to believe, if I believe really, really hard, then God will do something. He'll make something happen. It doesn't have to work that way because it's already done in the spiritual realm. So we're believing for things that are already done. Faith is believing for those things that are already done. So now let's look at this a little bit further. So again, let's bring up, if we can, bring up Hebrews chapter 11, verse number 1 again. So let's look at this a little bit further because I want to define this a little bit from the Greek. So the very first word that we see here that really tells us what faith is the word substance. So substance in the Greek means in part, and I emphasize in part, substance means in the Greek, in part, it means concrete essence. Concrete essence. That is a pretty firm and hard reality, is it not? I mean, can you think of things that are much harder than concrete? So according to the Greek, substance, in part, is concrete essence. So faith, then, is the concrete essence of what? Faith is the concrete essence. It's the tangible reality of those things that you hope for. That's what faith is. Now, the other phrase that's there is things that are hoped for. If you look at that phrase, things that are hoped for, and you break that down in the Greek, it means to expect with desire. So we are supposed to, as believers in Jesus Christ, as those who are hoping in biblical hope means to expect with desire. That means that having read the Word of God, you look beyond the things that you see and beyond the things that you feel. You look beyond the things you see and you feel, and you look towards the spiritual realm. And in that spiritual realm, you see the things that God has already readied for you. It's making that choice when you come to the fork in the road. It's making that choice to choose the route that's the spiritual road. And in taking that spiritual road, you're making the decision. In taking that spiritual road, you are making the decision to believe the things that you're hoping for. To have that hope and to see that hope become substance. Because faith is a substance of things that are hoped for. Y'all still with me? Am I going too fast for you? Because I know there's a lot of information. I told Donna this morning, I said, there's a lot of information in this, and I get so excited that I tend to go really, really fast. So if I'm going really too fast, just somebody hold up your hand and look confused, and then I'll slow down. I probably won't go backwards, but I will slow down. All right, so perhaps the best way to look at this verse, Hebrews 11:1, is to look at it so we can understand it for the purposes that we're talking about, is to look at it from the expanded Bible. How many of you guys brought your expanded Bibles with you today? Oh, see, look there. Somebody did. I didn't expect a hand to go up. All right, we're going to show this from the expanded Bible. Because listen to the way this says. Faith, being sure, the assurance or the tangible reality of the sure foundation of the things we hope for, and the knowing something is real, even if you do not see it, the conviction, assurance, evidence about things not seen. That's pretty strong terminology, is it not? Let's read that again. Faith means being sure, the assurance. We're going to see that word a lot in the next few minutes. The assurance or the tangible reality of the sure foundation of things we hope for, and knowing that something is real, even if we do not see it. The conviction, here's that word again, assurance, evidence about the things not seen. Hope is the first step. Hope is the first step in the tangible reality of faith. Now, I said a few moments ago that the word substance in the Greek means in part concrete essence. You know what the rest of that says in the Greek? This is really awesome, but you're going to have to stay focused with me for just a few minutes, okay? Don't fall asleep on me now because you won't understand this. This is really cool. This is how in the Greek, that word, the word substance, this is the exact way that it reads. Concrete essence and abstract assurance. Let that sink in for a minute because those two things sound like they're diametrically opposed. Concrete essence and abstract assurance. There's that word assurance again. That is an awesome thing. So the substance of things hoped for is the concrete essence and the abstract assurance of the things that we hope for in biblical hope. So stay with me. Now, let's look at the term. Are you guys confused yet? Okay, I've only confused a couple of you. Okay, so let's look at the term abstract assurance. Because the key word there is assurance. But that word abstract, that says something to us. So the substance of faith is abstract to the natural mind. So abstract means that it's something that's difficult for the natural mind to understand. So the substance of faith, the assurance that we're talking about, it's difficult. This whole thing, this whole principle of faith, it's difficult for the natural mind to understand. And yet, it's the assurance of the things that we hope for in Him. It's difficult in the it's abstract, so it's difficult for the mind to understand, but it is our assurance of the things hoped for. Now, while it's abstract, the substance of the faith is abstract, it's also, don't forget, it's abstract, difficult for the mind to understand, but it's also the concrete essence of the things that we hope for. So the substance of the things that we hope for, what does that mean? What are you hoping for in your life? What are the promises in the Word of God that you're believing for? What are the things that you're wanting to see in your life? Those are the things that we're hoping for. The concrete essence of those things that you're hoping for are more real. Those things you're hoping for but you have not seen because it's abstract to your natural mind. Those things that you are hoping for are more real than all the things that you see in this reality. The promises of the Word of God that you are using as your basis for the things that you hope for, the promises in the Word of God are more real in faith than anything that's in this room. It's more real than the air you're breathing in. It's more real than the stand. It's more real than the chair that you're sitting in. Those things that you hope for, while abstract, are still the assurance. It's the concrete essence of those things that you hope for. Those things you hope for in the Word of God are more real than any of the things that you're experiencing here in this natural world. Does that make sense? That was not a rousing response. I know I lost some of you along the way, but did it pick you up there at the end of the discussion there? For the most part, do I have most of you with me? If you're not with me, see me after school. We'll meet back in my office, and we'll go from there. But since it's an abstract assurance, and as such, that means that it's not easy for our minds to understand. Since it's an abstract assurance, that means it's not your problem to understand how faith works. It's not your problem. It falls under the category of things that are God's control. It falls under the category of things that God is concerned about and that God cares about. All you have to do is take the first step and choose to hope in the Word. Expect with desire. Receive the concrete essence of those things that you're hoping for. Receive those things you're hoping for as concrete essence into your life, into your reality. Somebody should have said amen. Okay, there you go. We got one amen. So hope is the first step. That's what I want to focus on more than anything else. Hope is the first step in seeing faith. Those things that we're hoping for come to reality. Hope is the first step. You have to have biblical hope. You can't displace it and use the world's hope or natural hope, which is nothing more than wishful thinking. Hope is the first step. The determination to look to and to see the things of the spiritual realm as opposed to seeing the things of the natural realm. When you see the things of the spiritual realm instead of the things in the natural realm, then the faith that is already inside of you, the faith of Jesus Christ that is already inside of you, then give substance to those things that you hope for. You start with hope. You make the determination to believe that which you cannot see. You make that determination. And when you do that, the very faith of Jesus Christ that is inside you right now is the faith then that gives substance to the faith, gives substance to the things that you're hoping for. Now, I hope you heard what I said, Because I want to be clear that it is the faith of Jesus Christ that resides inside of you. You don't have a faith problem. There's no one in this room that has a faith problem. If you believe in Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, you do not have a faith problem. Because you have the faith of Jesus Christ that is in you. Now, there's a number of verses, and we'll look at it sometime. I can't do it today. There's a number of verses that do point that out. The faith that you have is the faith of Jesus Christ. You don't have to worry about getting more faith. You've got His faith. What more do you need? Now, we can see that when you think about in Galatians chapter 5, verse number 22, when it's talking about the, what is it talking about? Yes, the fruits of the Spirit. Thank you. When it's talking about the fruits of the Spirit, when you read Galatians 5:22 and you read it in the King James Version, it says one of the fruits of the Spirit is faith. It's talking about His faith. You do not have a faith problem. Now, Jesus further amplifies that and further gives us more attention to this when he speaks this through Paul. Paul affirms this in 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse number 13. So let's go there. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse number 13. It says, and this is in the New King James, and since we have the same Spirit of faith. Okay, right there again, we're seeing. You have the same Spirit of faith. You've got the faith of Jesus Christ that's in you. Since you have the same Spirit of faith, according to what is written, I believed, therefore I spoke. We also believe, and therefore we speak. The faith that you need to see all the supernatural things in your life take place, the faith that you need is already in you. All you have to do is take that first step, and that first step is choosing to hope in biblical hope. You take that first step. You have to determine to hope in Jesus Christ. You make the determination to hope in Jesus Christ, and then Jesus takes care of the rest. Make the determination to hope, and then express your faith by speaking the Word of God. Now, that's important because we're going to build upon that in a second. So you start by determining to hope. Then you express your faith by, as it says, speaking the Word of God. I believe, I hope, and therefore I speak the Word of God. You take the first step, and that's hope. If you take that first step of hope, then you speak the words of faith, which is speaking. You express the faith by speaking the Word of God. Everybody still with me? You were less enthusiastic that time. I've lost at least a couple of rows. But that's okay. We'll try to make it all up here in the end. I'm going to go back to Psalm 71. Psalm 71 is the psalm that we looked at last week. So for those of you that weren't here, Psalm 71, the author of Psalm 71, is going through a desperate moment in his life. So desperate is the moment of his life that his enemies have already planned and put into effect the plans to bring about his destruction and even his death. And yet this is what the author of Psalm 71 says in verse number 14. But I will hope continually, and I will praise you yet more and more. The author of Psalm 71 made the determination that he was going to hope in spite of what he saw in the natural. Now the other word that we see here that's important is the word that's praise. So the first word that we see there is hope. The second word is praise. Remember the road sign that we saw pointing us? Praise was the road sign pointing us in the direction that we need to go to have that biblical hope. That's what our destination is. The psalmist hoped, and the evidence of his hope was he praised God more and more. So we are to hope in God, and once you make the determination to hope, the evidence of your hope is the fact that you praise God more and more. So think about your life. How many times are you hoping for things? But if you want to know that it's more than just wishful thinking kind of world's hope, the evidence that it's God's kind of biblical hope is you're praising God and you're praising Him more and more. So even though you might be going through a situation that is incredibly difficult, praise God all the more. If you're going through something that seems impossible, you praise God all the more. If you're hearing continual bad news, that just means more words of praise need to be coming out of our lips. Amen? All right, so let's build this thought just a little bit more. Let's develop that a little bit. I'm going to give you another analogy because everything is about analogies with hope. And we're still staying on that whole kind of roadmap, that road to our destination, which is biblical hope. which is that biblical hope which brings those things that we hope for into reality, becoming substance in our lives. So Donna and I, we both work here in the Toledo area. So if I'm going home or Donna's going home, I'm either leaving from here in Perrysburg or I'm leaving from Toledo at Yes FM. Donna, she's right by. Donna, you look grieved. The thought of work apparently grieved Donna on a Sunday. So if Donna's at work, which she's not, she's at church, so relax, Donna. So for Donna, she's leaving. She works near St. Luke's. So for either one of us, there's only three routes that we can take to get to our home in Grand Rapids. Now, for our purposes today, I just want to look at two of those routes. One of them is Old Route 24. Everybody know Old Route 24? It's the old Anthony Wayne Trail. You take it over 475. You know, it goes through Waterville, all that, keeps heading west. Mark and Jean, they probably took years ago when they used to go to see Tanner and Julie. They would take Old 24. But now, they take New 24. That's the other route. So we can either take Old 24 or we can take New Route 24. Now, Old 24, it's a beautiful route. It hugs the river. It's scenic. It's beautiful. But here's the problem with Old Route 24. Old Route 24 is two lanes, and there's very limited opportunities to pass. And the speed limit's only 50 miles an hour. And because it's a beautiful drive, a lot of times you have people that are going 5, 10, 15, even 20 miles an hour under the speed limit. It's very, very frustrating. So I'm on the right road. I'm on Route 24. I'm on the right road. That road is going to get me to my destination of Grand Rapids. I would just like to get there with a bit more alacrity. So the good news is I have a bypass. It's still Route 24, but I have a bypass. I can take New Route 24. New Route 24 is four lanes. I can go 70 miles an hour on New Route 24. Now, here's the thing. It's still Route 24. It still gets me to my destination, but I get there a whole lot quicker. I get there with a whole lot less trouble. I can speed things up. So when we think about the road sign that's called praise, we talked about that last week and I referred to it a little bit this week. You think about that road sign that's called praise. It points us to the destination that we have in biblical hope. But sometimes that road called praise can take us to our destination a little bit slower than we like. Well, the good news is there is a bypass for us that we can take to speed things up. That's the good news. So the road called praise, there's a bypass that we can take. So we've already learned just a few minutes ago the importance of speaking the word of God, right? So we saw that the importance of speaking the word of God, and we saw praise. But this is what is being said when the author of Psalm 71 said, I will praise you yet more and more. So we learn the importance of praise. But now we need to add to that the element of Old Route 24 versus New Route 24. So here's the element we need to add. When we follow the word of God that we speak, so we take the word of God, we speak the word of God. When we follow those words that we speak with our mouth, with words of praise from our mouth as well, this is the praising him yet more and more. This is the supercharging. This is taking us on the bypass. I can get, with the road marked praise, I can get to where I want to go. But the more I praise him, as I praise him more and more, I take the bypass. I take the way that's four lanes and 70 miles an hour. That's the route that I want to take. The word of God spoken in faith. And the word of God spoken in faith followed by praise and praise yet more and more, that takes me from the road called praise to the bypass road called praise. And the bypass road puts me on the fast lane to the destination that I have, which is the substance of things that I'm hoping for, and it gets me there with no impediments along the way. Amen. I just gave you guys a great key of praise yet more and more, and it gets you that destination faster. You should look really happy about that. Don't you guys rather have four-lane roads with 70 miles an hour? Or are you the guys that are on Route 24 going 30 miles an hour that I can't pass? All right, so we see evidence of this. We see examples of this demonstrated to us at the very end of Psalm 71. And again, Psalm 71 is the psalm where the psalmist is in that moment of great desperation in his life. Those who are planning his destruction have already implemented and put those plans into place against his life. But what he said is, I will yet praise you more and more. So let's look at that again. Psalm 71, verse 14. I want you to see this. Visualize it. See it in your mind. But I will hope continually and praise you yet more and more. Now that sounds really powerful, right? And it is. Those are powerful words. This is what the psalmist said early in Psalm 71. Those are powerful words. But what did he say? I'm going to praise you yet more and more. The good thing is, when you look to the end of Psalm 71, you're going to see that the words of praise that come out of the psalmist's mouth far outmeasure these words of praise, as great as these words of praise are. Look at the last two verses in Psalm 71. Because he said, I will praise you yet more and more. And he does. This is taking the bypass. This is taking us to our destination quicker. This is what he said. My lips shall greatly rejoice when I sing in you. It's just like Diane's Holy Spirit spoke through Diane today. He sings songs of deliverance over us. My lips shall greatly rejoice when I sing to you, and my soul, which you've redeemed, my tongue also shall talk of your righteousness all day long. For they are confounded, for they are brought to shame who seek my harm. You can see a difference in the words that the psalmist is saying here at the end of Psalm 71 than he was saying even three quarters of the way through Psalm 71. Because he said, I'm going to praise the Lord, but he said, I will yet praise you more and more. And he does. At the end, he does. And what happens? At the end, all of the plans of all of his enemies are confounded. All of the plans of all of his enemies are defeated. Everything that the enemy planned against him was brought to naught. He's no longer just speaking words of praise. He is now breaking out in song. He's saying, his soul is singing to God. Can you see the difference between the last two verses and Psalm number 14? It's a whole different kind of praise. And this is exactly what happens. Think about this. This is exactly what happens when you take the first step to hope. Because when you hope, you allow that to become the substance of faith. And that then is faith that Jesus Christ himself can move through to bring about the supernatural promises of his word of God in our lives. That's the supercharged nature. You guys look happy. Do we need to get up and move around? This is all good news. It's great things. This brings all of the plans. If we can praise God, if we can have hope, I continue to hope in you, and I will praise you more and more. If we can take that first step of hope, which leads us in the direction of faith, which is the substance of things that we hope for, it brings all of the plans that Satan has for your life to defeat, and it brings them all to shame. Enforce Satan's defeat that's already brought about by Jesus Christ. Enforce it. Bring about Satan's defeat and bring about Satan's shame because he ever ventured to come against you as a child of God. One final verse I want to look at this morning. This is Romans chapter 5, verse number 5. Now hope does not disappoint. Hope does not disappoint. Because the love of God has been poured out in the hearts, in our hearts by the Holy Spirit who was given to us. Summarize by saying this. You can go back, meditate on all these things we've talked about. Let the Holy Spirit show you more. But follow those road signs that lead you in the biblical direction of hope. And then live in that biblical hope. Not the world's hope, but the biblical hope. Because that's the difference. Faith is the substance of the things that we hope for. Hope. It all starts with hope. Hope is the first step in realizing and seeing all those promises of the Word of God brought about in our lives. Amen? Amen. Jesus, we praise you and thank you that your Word is true. And we thank you and praise you that all of these things that we've seen, that you've told us about hope, help us to understand the fullness of what biblical hope is, that we can take that first step today and every day to hope in you, to hope in the things that we do not see, the unseen things rather than the things that we see. By putting our hope in you, and in that hope, those hope for the things that we believe are the promises of your word, those promises of your word, as we hope, those things become the reality, the substance, the reality in our life. We thank you and praise you for that. It's in your name, Jesus. Amen and amen.